Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. A very special guest is joining us in studio today, District Attorney David Soares. David Soares, welcome.
Thank you.
So, David Soares, the first place I want to go is to what is on everybody's lips in this city of Albany. Now, you basically are supposed to be the cardinal of law enforcement for the city of Albany. If a crime is being committed, if a corrupt crime is being committed by a state legislator, a senator, or a assemblyman, or anybody else, is happening here. They're paid through Albany, and everybody knows that this is a jurisdiction you should have. But for years, I know I'm going on, but for years, they have been starving the DA's office in Albany just because they don't want you to do your job.
Well, I would say a cynical person would say that that's by design. And over time, I would have to agree with that assessment. You know, this Albany County has a very unique jurisdiction in the sense that the capital is here and many of the transactions are processed here. And so it gives the office a very unique set of jurisdiction. And we want to do our jobs. And over the years, we have, but not anywhere near the level and the scale that I believe is appropriate to address the issues that are occurring right up the road from us.
So to do it right, you would need a unit, basically an anti-corruption unit. I know you have people who do this, but you would need a full office to do it. If they really meant it, with all of the baloney that they put out, and I'm sorry to say this, the governor and everybody else, with all of that, they would give you money for an anti-corruption unit right here in Albany, and we would be off to the races.
We'd be off to the races, but instead what happens is they create what I call the alphabet soup of organizations where people are appointed by the very individuals who, you know, who I believe are conflicted.
Sure.
And then when they are investigating something that does have potential for a prosecution, they go ahead and conduct whatever it is that they conduct. They alert targets to issues that prosecutors and professional people who are involved in investigations would never do. So I believe that it's almost by design when you have these alphabet soup organizations that, you know, conduct hearings, you know, they destroy cases before those cases could even ever be presented to a district attorney's office. And so I've always said from the very beginning, if you want to eliminate or at least have an impact on corruption, you have 62 well-qualified district attorneys that are all over the state. Provide them with the resources and let's start looking at these laws and, you know, provide and create laws that really fit, you know, the times and the sort of crimes that are occurring. Because the antiquated statutes that we have that haven't been looked upon in over 20 years, it just doesn't cut it.
When I called you the cardinal, I meant it. You're sitting up here with this incredible power because and mission because this is where people are paid from. We mentioned that before. The governor has come out now, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't say this or put you on the spot, but I think somewhat disingenuously has given the district attorneys, the ones you mentioned, more power around the state, but not the money to do the job. In your case, you're sitting here, you need a lot of money. What would you need to do this right?
Well, I can tell you that I'm like my mom in a sense that, you know, very frugal and we make wise investments. Cases that we've had in the past, for example, the Hevesy case, the Novello case, all of those cases that we've done in the past, we've done by leveraging pre-existing resources. For example, at the time I had state police that were stationed in my office, we were able to make phone calls and get the assistance of, for example, the comptroller's office or a number of different agencies that could provide us with human beings and resources to allow us to do the work. Budgets have dried up, and I no longer enjoy having the state police presence in my office.
When you say you don't enjoy it, meaning they're not there.
They're not there anymore. And
Andrew Cuomo yanked them because he didn't like you because you were not prosecuting the protesters outside the Capitol and Occupy?
That's not for me to say, and I try not to think.
Okay, it's for me to say.
I try not to think that way. But, you know, the fact of the matter is the legislators in our Capitol, when they put their minds to something, and they pass legislation and they fund it, you know, things get done. If you look at violence in the state of New York, violence has gone down in the state of New York exponentially because of things like Operation Impact and crimes against the elderly. At any time our legislators pass legislation, put the money behind it, people do the work and you see significant impact. Here, again, we've just never had a commitment by the legislature to really attack this issue. And as a matter of fact, it's almost like, you know, you're allowing for foxes to develop the security provisions for the hen house.
I was just going to say the fox in the hen house. I'm so glad you said it.
But this is a real spark, and I'm very hopeful with the governor's leadership. And we've seen him demonstrate his ability to get things through the legislature. And I'm just hoping that they can, in addition to changing the laws, as we've seen these proposals, I'm just hoping that they also attach resources that will go along with changing the laws. For example, you have the Division of Criminal Justice Services that manages many of our grants. Operation Impacts comes through the Division of Criminal Justice Services. You know, why not ask for members to provide a percentage of the member items to go into a fund that will fund district attorney's offices with investigators and personnel to be able to do, you know, public integrity cases?
Now, there does seem to be a little bit of a mud fight going on, maybe somewhat surreptitiously, between the governor and the attorney general as to who gets, because the governor is yet another, you call them alphabet groups, yet another group of anti-corruption people, which he would appoint. I know that in his 2010 campaign, he said that he would share responsibility with Schneiderman, the attorney general, over corruption cases. Apparently, there's a little bit of a competition right now. What do you make of it as an observer and somebody who really probably ought to be getting these resources for yourself?
Well, what I can tell you is this. You have 62 well-qualified people who are so distant from the political issues that exist at the Capitol, these battles, which, you know, quite honestly, is a waste of time, and you should be focusing in on correcting the problem. But I think that prosecutors who exist across the state are very well removed from the politics of state government. That would, in fact, that's a benefit that would enable us to be more effective in doing our job, because we do it every day. So the idea of having to delegate authority to another agency or create another alphabet soup organization where there's appointments and there's politics surrounding appointments, I just think that we shouldn't be engaged in that dialogue. I think we should get serious. We should look at things, for example, in the governor's proposal, you know, statute of limitations, laws that don't make it impossible for prosecutors to do their job.
Statute of limitations, meaning that by the time you get everything you need, it's too late.
Yeah. And this is some sensible, you know, what he's proposed is very sensible in a sense. I've read it all and I believe that it can be applied effectively. But you cannot continue to ask counties that are all suffering. You know, we have tax cap issues. You cannot continue to pass these unfunded mandates on to the county. And so you can have rhetoric, but rhetoric without commitment is just empty words. So let's get some resources to the DA's offices.
Now, I wanted to ask you about this Occupy thing. You refused, I think quite correctly, to prosecute people who were exercising their First Amendment rights, the Occupy group here. And it's clear to me that there were politicians in and around here who didn't like that one bit, including the governor. And now I see that the last bit of that, a local judge is saying that you can't drop the case even though you want to drop the case. Is this guy just bucking for a Supreme Court nomination or something?
I certainly can't speak to the motivations of anyone else. But, you know, we stand by our decision. We're going to be looking at and speaking with the defense attorneys associated with the case. I'm not prosecuting that case because, you know, we have more issues with alcohol-related operations of motor vehicles. We have more issues with gang violence. Assaults and against women and the elderly, more scams that are going on than you can shake a stick at. And prosecuting peaceful protesters is just not something that I'm going to commit my resources to. So we will figure out a way of addressing, you know, the outstanding issues identified by this judge. But yeah, we've got other priorities.
David Soares, as a district attorney, you made a lot of news. and I thought, quite well done, on the matter of steroids. People sort of laughed at the time, but now it turns out you were absolutely right about what you were doing. I wonder if you could give us a little history of what happened there.
Well, you know, speaking of state government, I mean, the Department of Health here exists right around the corner from us here in the Capitol. And they have a prescription monitoring program that is above that which I see in other states. And if something is being overprescribed, they alert law enforcement. Law enforcement will engage in investigations. This occurred years ago prior to, I think, the awareness of what is happening right now. And so we knew that human growth hormones and steroids and other prescription medication, they were being illegally distributed all throughout the country, but here in the state as well. And through the jurisdiction here in Albany County with the Department of Health, we were able to collaborate, put together a great multi-state investigation involving detectives and investigators from Florida. And we were able to bring down one of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the country. And from that, we've acquired over 22 convictions and resources that we were able to seize. But I'm happy to see that now federal agencies and other organizations all throughout the country are now taking a look at this, because it's becoming more of a problem than even we had realized back in 2006 and 2007. So we are proud that we were really ahead of the curve there.
Why weren't the feds doing it in the first place?
Well, you know, I think for quite a number of years, the priority was terrorism. And so, you know, when you're focused so much on terrorism, there are other things that aren't given necessarily the priority. But I believe that that's changed now. I think that we're going to see more cases being done, and not just, you know, celebrity Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds sort of cases.
Alex,
I think, I think we're going to see more focus being paid to these pharmaceutical companies that are in fact presenting clear and present dangers to people who are out there unsuspecting.
And that is because if somebody orders something and they don't get the regulated amount, the right amount, they could have a heart attack. In fact, you were telling me a story once. One guy was having a heart attack.
Yeah, we've had cases where a woman had ordered prescription medication from one of these companies, and they provided her with the medication in the wrong dosage, and a gentleman had taken it and was suffering chest pains and having a heart attack. And so, and then the idea that your kid can be sitting behind a computer and ordering Oxy or anything else, from a compound pharmaceutical company anywhere in the country, it's just frightening. And it just comes through UPS or FedEx. It's frightening. And so this is an issue that we have to take a much closer look at, because people are driving cars, under prescription medication. Especially when you don't have a physician involved or a physician that you're seeing, it presents a lot of problems.
District Attorney Soares, I wanted to ask you about something that I've been thinking about sitting here on Central Avenue in Albany, New York. We had a terrible thing happen in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. And all of us with children or grandchildren or without anyone can relate to this terrible thing. Immediately, we saw the people in New York City gearing up. We saw cops all over the place. We saw the mayor giving press conferences, because we know New York City has been a target before. But it seems to me, and I don't want to make any suggestion, that the capital of the state of New York is also a place where we have to be very, very careful, because some headline maker might want to put some form of terror before us.
Well, it's always a concern for me, and I can speak for members of law enforcement here in our local community, especially when you continue to hear about the things that are happening at the Capitol and the kind of hate mail that they get and the kind of threats that are always being leveled. We actually prosecuted a case some years ago where an individual in Brooklyn had written the governor, then Patterson, threatening Governor Patterson with physical harm, as well as the threat to poison our water systems. And we had to move on this case. And thanks to the FBI and the state police, we were able to apprehend the individual in short order. But this is always a concern. It is a growing concern. I think, the responsibility, and no matter how well law enforcement prepares, I think it's incumbent on all people to always be mindful as to where they are and to be able to report, suspicious activity. I don't know that we can ever prevent, the kind of activity that we've seen in Boston as well as New York, but we can do our best to ward these folks off. And I just feel for our friends and families in Boston. I have a sister there. I have teenagers that are there. I was there with my own kids during the April break and the images that we're seeing on TV. But you know something else? We're stronger than we were you know, even when we had 9/11 here. We're a much stronger country, and the people, you know, the communities have responded. Law enforcement is responding. I believe we're going to, it's not going to be too long before we find out who, in fact, committed these horrible crimes, and we'll hold them accountable. But, you know, here in the Capital District, I'm always concerned about people trying to make a statement, especially when we continue to hear about how ineffective our government is. I'm waiting for one of these people, especially some of these, you know, protesters that have been here very recently, as a matter of fact, with, you know, sidearms and other weapons.
You're talking about the gun people. Yeah.
Yes, that's very concerning, you know, for me. And I know it is for our partners in the state police as well as the FBI. Albany County happens to be one of those locations we're fortunate enough to have such a high concentration of law enforcement here. FBI, DA, ATF, local police, state police.
Do you get along with all of them?
We get along, yeah, all yeah. of them. We're, you know, the
you
thing
watch
is,
Law and Order, and they're always talking about how, you know, the FBI won't cooperate with the DA.
We're family, and families have our disputes. We have our arguments. But you know what? I believe that we've seen incredible change here in the last 10 years, where when I first came in, everybody had their own, you know, sandbox and their own toys, and they wouldn't share, and extremely territorial. And I think that over the years we've had to come together because of the cases that have called for it. Certainly the internet crimes, but we have a much better, you know, working relationship, and the culture here in the Capital District is so much better. I go from place to place, and I travel, and I hear, you know, horror stories about neighboring agencies that do not share information. But, you know, I think in the Capital District, we're experiencing something special right now. And I think it's because we have more professional leadership here.
So when we travel from that to the fact that a couple of sheriff's deputies have recently been picked up because they were involved in crimes and in gambling, I guess, and other things. And the acquisition and maintenance of power, something that's always interested me. These guys have power in jails and places like that. How serious a risk is this?
Well, you know, I think you're going to have people, and it doesn't matter what profession you're in, which is why you have people like this in every form and in every profession.
Politics, we have them.
Absolutely. And so, you know, the fact that we have folks that abuse their position, and I'm not speaking specifically of this case because it's an ongoing case, but I'm speaking in general. That shouldn't surprise anyone. But it's how we respond to them when they are apprehended. If you show favor to a person who has title, to a person who's in a particular position, then what you are doing is you are compromising the integrity of the entire institution. People like that should be, you know, apprehended, and they should be prosecuted, and they should be prosecuted swiftly, and it should be talked about. So it restores faith and confidence in your constituents so that they know that there is one standard and everybody's accountable.
A kid goes into a grocery store, holds him up, and maybe in jail for a long, long, long time. A guy gives money, funnels money, a lobbyist funnels money into a legislator and ends up getting a slap on the hand.
It's offensive. It's offensive that, you know, the disparity in sentencing, even between white-collar crime, and a guy goes into to a gas station and takes, you know, a case of beer and you know, $100, he's going to state prison. And he's going to state prison for quite some time. But if you're embezzling money, or if you are a stockbroker and you abuse, you know, the public trust, you know, you're going to be under house arrest or receive probation, which is offensive. And I think people are aware of that. And now we're seeing a shift towards, you know, folks going to prison for a very long time and not going to, you know, comfortable prisons, but going to prisons and doing hard time, which I believe is necessary. Now, you know, the laws here in the state of New York with respect to bribery, the bribery statutes are so outdated. You know, it requires, you know, that the prosecutor to actually prove a quid pro quo, which, you know, that's not how business is conducted.
It's also accidentally on purpose. In other words, legislators know damn well when they pass those laws what they're getting.
Oh, absolutely. If you look at either gun statutes, if you look at narcotic statutes, you know, they're so detailed in whether it's weight, whether it's description of glassine bags or the length of a barrel for a gun. But when it comes to bribery statutes, it's just so vague and difficult.
I only have a few minutes left. Marijuana. Where are we?
I think we're going to see some movement here, you know, in the marijuana, especially the medical marijuana. I'm hoping that we do see movement because there's so many people out there who are suffering every day that need this for medicinal purposes. We should do this. This is somewhere we should be.
And how about regular marijuana?
I think we're going to see a movement there with respect to regular marijuana. I think people are becoming aware of just what constitutes dangerous products and you know, certainly some states are deciding to take a different approach and decriminalize marijuana altogether. I don't know where New York is going to be. I don't know that New York is going to be doing anything like that in the near future, but I believe the country is sort of trending that way right now.
The Rockefeller drug laws, you've taken a huge role in this and gotten a lot of credit for what you have done. A lot of people are either out of prison or and our prison populations are decreasing. And as you say, crime is going down. Mm-hmm. Are you proud of yourself?
You know, the battle, in my opinion, has just begun because, you know, the state corrections, with all the money that they're saving in terms of sentencings that have decreased over the years and people coming out earlier, you know, we need to have more reinvestment back in these communities where these people are coming back to, because I believe that they're only going to be out for a little while before, you know, they reoffend because of the lack of opportunity, lack of employment. We really need to see some justice reinvestment back in the hardest hit communities.
I have one last question for you, and I don't want you to take offense.
No.
But you had what everybody considered to be a tough primary against you. To me, it was clear that some of the people you had offended by your stance on these issues probably threw somebody up against you. You cleaned up the floor with the guy, which I predicted would happen. I'm wondering, do you agree with me that there were those who just didn't like where you were going?
There are people that still do not appreciate where it is that we as a county are going. And, you know, these are people that were the traditional power brokers in this community, and they just have to deal with me.
Our guest has been District Attorney David Soares. As far as I'm concerned, one of the great heroes amongst us. David, thanks so much for joining us. Good luck in all of your work.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gastina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org, and NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decision to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.